I couldn't make it through the expansion packs after playing through the main game. I was duked out.
Duked out.
It's so many one-liners. Oh, and they're the exact same one-liners.
And, and the thing is, it just gets better as you play the expansions. He said, like, what was it in the Life's a Beach one? I think as you blow one of the aliens up or whatever it may be, he's like, "You're in my son, bitch."
Welcome to episode 39 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I'm a dainty sort of fellow, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
Hi, my name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I'm a beard racist.
Nice. And joining us tonight is not Eric Hunter. He is actually on vacation, but in his place is his brother, Mark Hunter. Mark, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Mark Hunter, and some people say that I am an urban legend.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Me likey.
Yeah. It's good times, isn't it?
Is this like the creepy, like in the shadows, dark alleyway kind of urban legend?
Sure. Yeah, you could go that way if you wanted to.
Okay.
I really hadn't thought it all the way out, really.
Well, that was, I like it. That's good. That's good. Keeps the allure alive.
It is, yeah.
At least you're not a beard racist.
No.
Whoa. I judge people based on the quality and thickness of their beards.
Well, I guess I shouldn't have trimmed mine recently, huh?
Yeah.
I'm good. It's pretty much, if you have a teen stash, I'll judge you.
A little caterpillar fuzz up there.
Yeah.
I actually am kind of rocking that tonight. I didn't shave today. So.
That's all right. At least it's not wispy.
Oh, not. You are starting to stray into gross territory there.
Yeah.
Well, beard racism aside, have you guys played any old video games lately?
I have. I've been playing a bunch, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Other than my regular PC fare, which I've been playing too much Counter-Strike, I seem to be on a kick. Played some more System Shock 2. I decided to play some Tetris and Sonic CD.
Nice.
Wow.
You're not going to like what I played it on. I played it on my tablet. And let me tell you, a Sonic game that just plays like crap.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing
that
Sonic.
That is not an enjoyable experience.
No, not even close.
It is painful.
Like, how do you even do the spin dash?
You don't. I found that out very quickly. You just don't.
Fair enough.
Have both of you played Sonic CD?
Yeah. Yes, I have. But it's been a very, very long time.
Oh, I'm getting a no from Bailey there.
I have played Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles.
Okay.
But not Sonic CD.
This feature I'm going to ask about maybe in the other games, I'm not sure. In the middle of levels, randomly, I don't know if it's because he hit a certain speed, Sonic leaps into the air. There's this kind of magic, like, rushing effect going by him, and suddenly he's, like, goes to an alternate version of the level. Have you ever had that happen?
No.
Pretty sure that's just a Sonic CD thing.
Alright. Never mind then. They didn't even give an explanation in the Android version. So I was just like, okay, I'm going through time to a different version of this level. But I know it always seems to be the future.
Interesting. Was he still a blue Sonic, or was he gold or silver or something?
No, he's still
like
blue, but everything was robotic and kind of post-apocalyptic.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I haven't played it. I don't know.
So, yeah. What have you guys been playing?
I'll let Mark go first.
Oh, you're sure?
Yeah. What have you been playing?
I'll tell you what. I have been playing, actually, Rise of the Triad.
Ooh.
Yeah, I picked it up off of GOG.com maybe 2 weeks ago. And I've been playing that. I haven't played it
probably since it had originally had come out for the PC. But, you know, it's fun. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. It's a simplistic game.
It is what it is.
Yeah. It's fun, though. Yeah, I wasted many hours playing, and that's what it's all about.
Nice. Anytime you can waste many hours on a game, the quality almost doesn't even matter at that point. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
I enjoyed myself.
Right.
I don't even care. Cool. And Jason, you're a fan of that game, right? Or the remake or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Another one I haven't played yet.
So, really? Yeah,
that's a good one.
GOG, I didn't go buy it yet.
Nice. Well,
it's funny you mentioned Tetris, because I played that the other day. Yeah, to make a long story short, I am currently tutoring a third grader in English, like reading and stuff.
Nice.
And he's all into modern gaming. He's all into the first-person shooters. It's actually kind of funny. But his mom just happened to casually mention, like, oh, you should play some old-school games like Tetris. And he's like, Tetris, what's that? And I was like, what? Oh, it's so weird. Like, eight-year-olds don't know what Tetris is. So I brought over my old NES and the Tetris cartridge and played some Tetris and showed him this is what Tetris is. This is what pixel gameplay looks like. Puzzling perfection. So, yeah, not sure what we'll play next, but I feel like that was a good old school introduction for him.
I mean, did he play it long, or did he enjoy it? What? I mean,
he thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I get the sense he's not a puzzle fan, and I don't think he was really impressed, but he could see how it could be fun.
Yeah.
I guess he viewed it kind of like a curiosity, like playing with a wooden top or something. Like, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny, though, because, like, his mom loved it. Like, his mom kicked his butt. And that was funny to see. So, kind of bittersweet. I'm not sure what to introduce him to. Should I even bother introducing Super Mario Brothers? Like, what if he hates that, too? And just, you know?
Should. Start with Mario 3.
All right.
It's always a classic. Start with that and
go in full head on.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, he must have played the recent Marios. Like, does he have a Wii or a...
Well, funny story about that. He only got the Wii after the Xbox 360. And he only got the Wii because his grandmother gave it to him. And then he hardly ever touches it, hardly ever plays it, and might be selling it.
How old is
this weekend? He's 8.
Oh, is he one of those 8-year-olds with, like, a headset on Call of Duty?
I don't know.
Just swearing at people saying he's doing their moms.
It's really weird because I don't think he plays online multiplayer, but he talks about how he really loves, like, Far Cry 3 and even, like, Battleship,
okay,
like the movie tie-in game for Battleship. Like, he was showing me that game, and it's like, it's interesting.
I didn't even know they made a game
either.
For that.
I was just going to ask you the same thing.
I'm looking this
totally
up.
Did Battleship. It's a game, and it's funny because it's half first-person shooter, but then, like, there's also strategic ship movement portions. Really,
it's got a stellar 38 on the Metascore.
Yeah, it's a movie license game, you know.
The official Xbox magazine named it stagnant and lacking in substance. Battleship is a bit of a floater.
Floater.
Don't feel bad if he doesn't like Tetris.
Okay.
He's got different priorities.
Fair enough. Thank you.
My gosh. They're selling it, like, at the store for, like, $16. It's not even worth anybody's time.
It's good to know the grand tradition of crappy movie tie-in games continues to this day.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God, please tell me you heard about Shaq Fu.
What do you mean heard about? What happened? What happened?
They re-trademarked it.
What? So there might be, like, a
the company
Shaq Fu 2.
Oh, God.
That would be. I mean, Shaq's retired now. He's looking for something to do.
Yeah,
he needs that extra
Whoever
money.
Owns the trademark, it's this company called Mine Oh Mine. They registered Shaq Fighter and then 4 gaming-centric trademarks for Shaq Fu.
Oh, my God.
Last month. So maybe making a comeback.
Hold on, what's your source on this?
Yeah.
Joystick.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I might have to do a little bit of investigating on that.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same.
That's exciting. Maybe not in the right ways, but it's...
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. And you know what? As much as we all hated that game, or liked it for whatever reason you may have liked it, mm-hmm. you're still going to go out and play the second one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're gonna be like, you
so
know what?
Curious.
I hated Shaq Fu, but man, I'm going to play Shaq Fu too.
I have
three,
to try
four.
It.
I'm going to play all of them. You know, I'm going to go back and play the first one again. Just because, you know, I need that nostalgia factor.
Yeah, I think the first one is better than people give it credit for. I mean, you get that teleporting lady and that cat creature thing, and it's not great, but it's that little kid who could lay the green plasma mines and backflip away from them, and they blow up. The smallest explosion in video game history. I'm just amusing myself trying to imagine this older, overweight Shaq putting on the mocap suit again and
You're
going
right.
through the motions, you know.
If only.
Oh. What was the when the victory screen, he said something like, "Go in peace, brah." he's giving him like the finger, like, "Go in peace, brah."
Let's see if I
don't
want
to finish you off. I'm just gonna make you go in peace after I've beaten you to pulp, or whatever he would have done.
I just like that in Shaq Fu, if you beat the game, Shaq just rejoins a basketball game and says, "Sorry I'm late, boys. Let's just say I had to get through some traffic to get here."
Classics.
I've never even gotten through it. I don't even think I could stand it enough to finish it to that point.
Yeah, I just found that on Google Images. That's me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I don't think I ever beat it, but I did borrow it from my friend for a while. It was kind of a sad point in my gaming life, playing Shaq Fu late at night. Ooh, I'm going to beat it!
It's all right. I think Eric actually has it for both the Genesis and the Super NES. I think he does.
Ouch.
Yeah, nice. And to be honest with you, I think that at one point when we were younger, we wanted that game. And our mom went out and bought it for us, and we were all excited about it. We're like, you know, how old we were at the time, whenever it came out, we're like, "Yeah, we love Shaquille O'Neal. We're going to play the game." You know, we're like 10 or whatever we were at the time.
And let me guess, you were already familiar with Street Fighter.
Oh, of course.
So you thought, man, Street Fighter with Shaquille O'Neal in it? That'd be amazing.
Absolutely. We were Orlando Magic fans at the time. Of course.
Anthony Hardaway.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good team. Nick Anderson. Dennis
Scott.
Was
a good team.
A little bit
real good for a while, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Hakeem Olajuwon.
What is he doing now? He has a goofy show.
It's just rolling in money.
Yeah, rolling.
Literally rolling his girth around.
Rolling in all the money he made off Shaq Fu.
Oh. I think he's doing some
I would love to know how many they sold.
I imagine they sold like hundreds of thousands. Probably like 750,000 would be my guess.
Had to have, because Shaquille. Gotta go get Shaq!
Yep. Remember when people wanted to see his movies? That was a fun point in time.
What was
Kazam.
It?
Kazam!
Saw
that in the
yes.
theaters, yeah. Oh, jeez.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I bet he probably wishes that he could find all of the copies and just burn them.
I bet.
Just start a huge bonfire with all the copies of it.
I've been really wishing they'd bring back Steel.
A reboot?
Not even
a reboot,
just like a Blu-ray release or something. Just so I can see it. Because the only copies I can find are VHS copies, and I'm not going to buy that.
Yeah.
Nothing on eBay or Amazon for a DVD at all?
I don't even know if they brought it out on DVD.
Yeah, they
gosh. Yeah. Jeez. It was Let's find out.
Oh, DC Comics owes Christopher Nolan such an enormous debt of gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm looking here on IMDb, 2.7 out of 10 stars.
Nice.
That's how awesome it was.
IMDb, where a random foreign film that's been seen by 14 people can get an 8. 2.7.
Oh, I found a DVD copy.
Oh, hey. You got to get it now.
Did you? All right.
$18. Ships to Australia.
$18.
Well, collector's item right there.
Yeah.
See, Mark, little do you know, Jason loves physical media.
Oh, I love it so much. I'm so gonna buy this in a physical copy. And not find it somewhere.
All right. We're gonna let the...
Anyway.
Now the sarcasm siren has gone off for this episode. Let's go to the discussion question. Got an email from a loyal listener. It goes like this. Hi there. Me again, writing yet another question for the podcast, probably because I didn't get any shout-outs in the last 8 weeks. Speaking of deserving a shout-out, I just want to take this opportunity to shout-out an amazing individual. Jason Lamb. For those unfamiliar with this Canadian icon, Jason Lamb is the Canadian resident editor for OneMoreCastle.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lamb. Now for the actual question. On the recent Mega Man question, Bailey talked about the slide forcing lazy level design. What are your worst souvenirs of lazy level designs in retro gaming? Thanks again, Jonathan H., a.k.a. Big Joe 91. What do you guys think? Old games with terrible level design.
Early flight simulators.
Just like the one vast expanse.
It was just two colors.
Okay.
There's the ground. There's the sky.
Have fun.
Don't dip too low.
Don't stall.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh.
The early racing games had pretty poor ones.
Really? Like, give me an example.
Like I'm saying, the arcade style ones where. It wasn't as if you're racing around a physical track. Mm. It was just a static background of a mountain or something.
Gotcha.
And the road just kind of twisted as your car just shifted left and right constantly.
So like Pole Position, Rad Racer, yeah. Those kind of games.
Those weren't that great.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, especially in the ones where if the background detail didn't change much, you really did just feel like it was a memorization game. Okay, yeah. 3 seconds is going to be a left turn. There's going to be a right turn after that, then a hard left. I'm going to go on a straightaway for 5 seconds, and then...
Mind you, you can't really say they're poor from a creative level. They're kind of restrained from a technical point.
Yeah, they're definitely their own kind of game. I mean, at that time, it was either make it that way or do it overhead, like with Super Off-Road or Super Sprint. Even those.
RC Pro-Am.
RC Pro, yeah, yeah. Do the isometric like that. Early racing games. The one I thought of was, I can't think of any specific games, but you might know what I'm talking about. Any game that makes you collect many different colors of keys in the same level.
Yeah.
You have to go get a yellow key to open the yellow door.
So
to
most
get the...
first-person shooters.
Yeah.
Sure. And,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
Even Doom at least balanced it well, because I know that not every level needed all three keys. You get through some levels without keys, some levels you only need one red key, but you can definitely go overboard. When you need 7 different colors of keys just to get to all the other ones, it's...
Yeah, it just ends up you running around
tedium.
And getting annoyed.
Yeah, tedium ad infinitum ad nauseum.
Yuck indeed.
That's all I could think of was keys.
No, it would almost, for me, would be a very similar thing. It would almost be where you have to go and collect various objects.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't even know. You're in a goofy level of some sort, and you have to collect who knows how many objects in order to continue on to the next level.
And it's
ridiculous.
Amazing.
Just
how much. Yeah. Some people love those games. Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Much beloved game. And I don't think it's bad per se, but it's not awesome.
I find design like that is substituting content. It's filler content and actually instead of having to come up with something to entertain people.
Yeah, it's like if we make you spend 2 hours performing basic movements thousands of times just to get different objects and different parts of the level you can reach, where's the strategy? Where's the choice? Where's the story? I mean, like I said, some people dig it. It must have an appeal. I mean, it's that whole microtransaction thing where you get addicted and there's all those little, you know, I got 6 out of 8. I only got 2 more to get.
Right. I mean, a lot of them anymore, the adventure game, or I don't know if you want to call them adventure games, they're like new Assassin's Creed 3, for instance, where yes, you have the main storyline, but then you have all them side quests and goofy little things that you have to do, and I mean, it does, it gets tedious after a while, and you're sitting there, well, I have to collect and you have to collect 1,000 of them, and then you have to climb, I mean, it just gets to be where you're running around an area continually back and forth, it's too much.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't finish the Fable series.
Oh, yeah.
I started through Fable 3 a while ago, got to the point, and they wanted you to increase your reputation with a town before you proceeded. And the only way you could do that was walking around to citizens and, like, dancing or shaking their hand.
Yeah, that's what killed it
for me. Or going off and doing these, like, menial side quests where, like, kill 3 chickens. I was this is not worth my time anymore.
Yeah, I killed me on the first one for the Xbox, and that was the same thing. I got to a certain point.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I quit the first and second.
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
I have that right up here somewhere, actually. Now that
if
I think about it.
If you go through a lot of effort, there should be a significant reward. But when the reward is something as simple as you only get to go to the next level, why am I going to spend 3 hours doing stupid stuff to do that?
Yeah.
I think games like World of Warcraft and other MMOs, they get away with doing that because they're constantly rewarding you.
Yeah.
They're constantly like, here's this awesome piece of armor.
Here's 30 experience points, 30 experience points, 50 more
experience points.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the old style RPGs, Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
You know, sure. You have to go around forever trying to level up your characters because you can't continue on past a certain point of a castle or to a boss without getting to that certain level. And that just, you're, like you said, 3 or 4 hours just walking around.
If you don't like grinding, don't touch Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I like RPGs, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to find a well-balanced one. Even Pokemon. Like, I think some of the games are great, but remember the first game, you had the caves that were dark? So you had to get the Flash HM just to see. Yep. I'm not sure if that's creative or bad. I don't know. I mean, you gotta prevent progress somehow, but I hated that.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I have to use a move slot on some Pokemon just to light up a cave. Thanks a lot, game. Thanks a lot. I get my Jigglypuff and go home. Moon Mountain is done.
Good old Pokemon. I used to have a gigantic stuffed Pikachu. I mean, this thing was a monster.
Like, how big is a monster Pikachu?
We're talking, I couldn't even give you an accurate. So, say you wrap your arms around yourself and add another one of yourself onto that.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. I think I picked it up at Kmart for like $10. It was like a clearance item, and I'm like, you know what? I like Pikachu. We'll pick up Pikachu. Yeah.
Now see that, the reward fits the effort. $10, not too much. You get a huge Pikachu. Nintendo sent me this one.
Yeah.
Really nice vinyl figure.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so that's the Pikachu I have. Definitely not large, though. That is a very small one.
Well, it was like a plush one. It was a stuffed thing. So it was
like something you'd find at a fair.
That's exactly what it was.
Ski ball or something to win.
Something Shaquille O'Neal would win for hitting a free throw after 1,000 attempts.
I want a giant plush Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes! That would be the best Shaq Fu 2 giveaway ever. I would support a Shaq Fu 2 Kickstarter if my reward was a 7'2" plush Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal.
I will back that right now.
Oh,
that would be,
I love it.
All over that. Oh. Let's take a music break. by Scott Peoples, a renowned remix artist. That was a remix from Ocarina of Time, and I hope I pronounced Gerudo correctly, the name of that race, but it's an excellent track either way. But now it's time for the best part of the show, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We have 1 minute to introduce what we've picked, and then we're just going to have a free-for-all argument about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast page. So hopefully, one of our arguments will sway you. 2 episodes ago, our theme was superior sequels. We each brought a game that was better than the original. And the winner was Jason with Diablo 2.
Yeah. Oh. A totally unfair pick.
Beat out NBA Jam Tournament Edition and Ghostbusters 2, 15-12-8. So,
wow.
That's kind of a
huge,
close vote, but
yeah,
still. Diablo 2.
Diablo 2.
And he never even played the original.
I didn't.
You know, I have that up here somewhere, too. Diablo 2. I don't think I've ever played either one, to be honest with you. I got a ton of stuff.
Nice.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I got a ton of stuff here that I've never played through. That's
all right.
Sad.
That's my Steam account.
Shame of the backlog.
Yeah. And the problem is now, because they were probably at the time used for Windows 95.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now I wouldn't even be able to use them, so they're just taking up space, I guess.
You can still use the CD key for Diablo 2.
Really?
Yeah, I have Blizzard it up will here. Let you register it.
Huh. I might actually get a chance to play through it, and if I
confirm
ever make it to
Jason's
it.
Confirm Jason's choice, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I still think you're a dork, Jason, just saying that.
Yeah, well, that's what I do.
And tonight, we're continuing our tradition of not having a theme because we have a special guest. So, free for all. We have no idea what's coming out tonight. So, I look forward to what happens. Jason, it's good to have you back. I'm glad you're no longer sick.
Me too.
If only because that means you can be the official timekeeper again.
Yeah.
So
I've got it all geared up to go.
Yeah, I think I'm ready. If you have a minute on the clock for me, I think I'm ready.
I do. Are you ready to begin?
Sure.
Miko.
All right, well, after last week, I was thinking about growing up with the Super Game Boy and how much I really liked the peripheral and some of the Super Game Boy enhanced Game Boy titles I played. And tonight I brought another one.
5 seconds remaining.
There's no way I only have 5 seconds left.
45.
45, okay. Game & Watch Gallery. Released on Game Boy in 1997 with Super Game Boy enhancements, it's the Game Boy cartridge collection of 4 of Nintendo's old Game & Watch portable games, ones they made even before the Game Boy. It includes Manhole, Fire, Octopus, and Oil Panic. The really cool thing, though, is that you could play the original style LCD versions, or you could play new animated versions with Nintendo characters. Very fun, five, nice to have a variety, three, excellent two, old school one. Gameplay.
You're disqualified.
Ah, that third of a second. Lamb!
Blast you!
All right. Hunter.
Yes.
Mark? Oh, no derp. My name is Jason. All right. Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
You may begin.
For this week's showdown pick, I chose Chikan the Forever Man. Published by Sega of America in 1992, it's based upon a comic book by Robert A. Krause. The game follows the tale of Chikan, a warrior who was so confident in his martial abilities that he even declared death couldn't best him in battle. Of course, death appeared and challenged him with a proposition. Chikan could defeat him, he'd go be granted eternal life. That's Chikan. The Forever Man. I didn't need all the time. Yeah. That is my argument.
23.3 seconds was 23 extra that you didn't have there, Bailey.
Oh,
way
oh,
to go.
Thanks.
Oh. 22.6 All right. Seconds. Shut up, app. All right. I guess I'll go. 1 minute remaining. My choice for this week is the 1997 LucasArts developed game, Star Wars Yoda Stories. This game, a spiritual successor to Indiana Jones and his desktop adventures, was a collection of mini-games meant to be played in small amounts of time. He played as Luke Skywalker and had to complete objectives like rescuing Han Solo or Princess Leia, obtaining an object, or warning the rebellion in several locations in the Star Wars universe. Each game starts with Luke arriving in Dagobah to look for Yoda, and then you're sent off on a quest to either a desert world, a forest world, or a snow world where random quests are held. That's Star Wars Yoda Stories for the PC, released in 1997.
Oh, I guess it's good there you go. I'm not the only one who brought a mini game collection tonight.
Yeah.
It's cool. How do you spell Chakan? Is that the C-H-A-K-A-N?
K-A-N, yeah. You know, they had a Game Gear. I didn't realize that. There was a Game Gear release of that as well. I never played that one, but I did enjoy thoroughly the Sega Genesis version.
Well, hey, you know, the nice thing about Sega Genesis is knowing when Sega created an inferior, watered-down, portable version. You know, that was always nice.
Yeah. You know how they are.
Yeah. Chakan was always one of those games that I remember seeing on the shelf at the store, but never getting.
Really?
I think I was just terrified by the cover art. It's a scary-looking dude.
Yeah. And you know what? The thing is, I don't even remember what even got us to pick it up. You know, because you didn't have the internet then. You just went on game magazines, and I'm sure we saw it in a magazine or something. We're like, dude, that looks awesome. I'm going to pick it up. So we did. And then found out that it's, you know, it is what it is.
It's my understanding that it is a decent game, if not altogether spectacular.
Yeah.
But Yoda Stories, I have no familiarity with. What the heck?
None either.
Okay, it's a top-down. Okay, you got a top-down view of this little mini Luke Skywalker. You're essentially walking around doing quests for Yoda. It was meant to be played in the same way as a solitaire or minesweeper is. You've got a short amount of time, so you boot up Yoda Stories, you play a quick quest, and then you're done.
Okay, yeah, because it really actually does look like Minesweeper.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
I'm looking at it too.
Very simple UI.
That is tile-based graphics. That's like...
Yep. Do you remember Chip's Quest?
Yes!
Oh.
It kind of had the same feel as Chip's Quest.
Same vibe as Chip's Quest. That doesn't speak well to your game, though, Jason.
Oh, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Except it's Star Wars Chip's Quest.
So.
And it's just not puzzles. It's puzzles with stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Okay, but I would encourage our listeners, even more so than usual, if you're not familiar with Yoda Stories, look it up on YouTube.
It's amazing.
Funny looking. It is funny looking.
Unfortunately, they stopped making the series after this game.
Luke's head is enormous.
It is. They're just walking heads.
Galloping around one tile at a time.
Oh, it's terrible.
That Windows 3.1 style scroll bar.
I mean, was this just something that was intended as something else, and then, you know, LucasArts is like, I'll throw Star Wars on it.
They made an Indiana Jones one before it.
God.
Which I'm sure was a hit.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
It also came out for the Game Boy Color.
Oh, what? Yes, I bet it was better. I bet it was better. I'm going to look it up.
Probably was.
Let me put it this way. If they stuck to the same UI and movement mechanics, that would be awful on Game Boy Color.
Well,
yeah, apparently it's very hard to control on the Game Boy Color.
Let's see.
Yoda,
items, you've got an inventory.
Oh, yeah, that makes a good game. You can pick up items!
Yeah, to continue on to the next level.
It was awesome. It was great. 9-year-old me really appreciated this game.
I bet. You know what 9-year-old me appreciated? Clods of Dirt.
Those are good as well.
Dirt.
It's a fun game. Throwing stuff at people. Dirt, yeah. Clod Wars.
So, Game & Watch Gallery.
What's up?
It's just the Game & Watch.
Yeah.
The graphics aren't even improved.
No.
They are. There's the old school versions, but there's also the new school versions with the new animations, Nintendo characters. It's not... You can play it either way. Each game has two versions.
This game's actually on the Nintendo eShop right now for the 3DS.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I don't know why, though.
Because it's great. And I like picking great games.
Never really got into those myself. I sure probably should have, though. It just takes you back.
It's like the Tiger Electronics games. You remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah,
those cost me $5 at Kmart.
Well, it's
true. They weren't the full retail price of a Game Boy game.
Well, yeah, but for the full retail price, you basically get 8 games. And go for the high score, man. I mean, they made 4 Game & Watch galleries for Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and eventually Game & Watch Gallery 4 was on Game Boy Advance. It's a pretty popular series, Jason. The one concession I'll make, I will make this concession... is your opinion of Game & Watch Gallery for Game Boy, or even Super Game Boy, it's probably going to match your opinion of the Game & Watch games. If you can't get into portable LCD-style frame-by-frame animation, if you can't see the charm in that, the charm that Baguette Game & Watch guy on Super Smash Bros., the charm that influenced portable game design across all game makers forever, you're probably not going to get Game & Watch Gallery on Game Boy. But if you like that kind of thing, it's wonderful. It's fun.
If you like that kind of thing.
I used to be pretty good at Octopus. Just call me the Octopus Man.
Yeah.
Tentacles Bailey. Right here. Tentacles Bailey.
Tentacles Bailey. Wow.
Yeah. I just never did. I don't know if it was because we went straight to the Game Boy right away. Instead of, you know what I mean? We had some of the tiger. I like the tentacle.
I feel like...
floating in the water there.
I feel like the Tiger Electronics games is what your family members got you for Christmas when they really didn't feel like paying full price for a full video game.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could pay $50 and get him a Game Boy game. I can just get him basketball, the Tiger Electronic version. And as a kid, I didn't care. It worked out for me.
Yeah. We were fortunate because my uncle owns a video store, so we would get for Christmas. We would get random video games. Like one year, I think we got Strider for the Genesis.
Oh,
which hey, I was excited about.
Yeah.
But just definitely. You know, it was one of them random things. It's like he just picked it up from the store, put it in its original case, and then wrapped it. He's like, "Merry Christmas! I don't know what it is." I think one time we even got something we didn't even have the system for.
Quick funny story about that. I've told it before on this podcast, so I'll make it super quick for long-time listeners. But I remember asking for Clay Fighter, the video game, for Christmas. And my grandmother got it, the Super Nintendo version, when I only had Sega Genesis. And I was actually able to use that situation to convince my mom to get me a Super Nintendo.
Right on.
That was pretty sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
My mom...
And you've never gone back.
Yeah, not really. That was probably the last non-Nintendo console we had was the Genesis. Sorry to say. But you talk about like your uncle in a video store. My mom worked at Toys R Us for a while. So a few interesting things there. Like they would raffle off some of the demo items. So like we got the store Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's awesome.
The purple one. It was until we broke it, but you know.
How'd you break it?
You know what? My sister can fact check me on this because I know she'll listen.
Right.
I don't know if it was that one that we broke, but what happened was 4 of us were playing Super Smash Brothers, and our dog chewed through one of the controller cables.
Oh, that sucks.
And it like shorted out the console. Like, it just didn't work. Didn't even turn on anymore.
That sucks.
And I'm actually, I can't remember if we were able to, like, we may have tried to send it into Nintendo to repair. And, like, you have to wait. I don't know. Because at one time we had a couple of them. But, yeah. I never realized a dog chewing through a controller cord could do that much damage.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird.
I didn't think that could happen.
It's not hardwired or anything. I mean, you can easily remove it.
But definitely happened. It was really strange. And super bum out when there's four of you playing this awesome game. You're all excited. And then just instantly, bam, game time's over. Thanks a lot, dog.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, Chican.
Yeah.
The Forever Man.
The Forever Man.
It's Chican.
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 Chakan.
Chakakan. Chakan.
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 Chakan. Tag turn.
Chakan. Tag turn.
Is Chakan supposed to be, I fear saying this because I've used this argument against your brother because he brings similar games. And I don't know if it's just because old Genesis games look like this, but are they all supposed to be Castlevania ripoffs? Was that the Sega Genesis?
It had several. You know what? They had several Castlevania ripoffs.
Oh, see, I like Mark. He's honest. I like Mark.
He is. Thank you. Oh, thank you for being more honest than your brother.
Oh, no. I know. I know what his response would have been. But I've played through enough Genesis games to know that there are several that it's like, wait a second. This should really be something else. And instead, it's like Castle Story. You know? Stephen's
Eric
Quest.
Eric Hunter will never admit that. That's really funny to hear you say that. That's awesome. I will say, though, I prefer having two swords over having a whip. I don't know if it's a better game than Castlevania series, but having two swords is cool.
Yeah, two swords are cool.
Yeah.
But you're definitely fighting bats and going through a gothic scenario, and there's cheap deaths and bottomless pits. And
eerie faces show up. And
there's a double jump, which Eric Hunter has criticized before. But
what,
the
double jump?
Yeah, he hates the double jump.
He hates double jumps. Yeah.
Like, and so, what? Why? Just out of curiosity, I've never had this discussion. What did he say?
He says, and Jason, feel free to fill in the blanks on this. Yeah. I think his view of double jumping is that it gives the developers an arbitrary reason to be lazy with their level design.
Gotcha.
Like, his thing is, why not just have it right away, or I think his other example is the dash in Mega Man X, when Mega Man can now dash, and they use that. It kind of goes with the arbitrary level filler discussion.
Right.
In his opinion, double jump is an example of that.
I mean, I think in a lot of stuff, the double jump is, I don't know. You know, I don't see it as being, in some cases it's very helpful, but then I can also see where he's coming from stating that you're right, they can be very lazy and say, oh, we're going to put this platform two steps away from you and you have to, in order to hit it.
You have to go an hour that way to get the double jump to come back an hour this way just to go up to that little ledge.
Yeah.
Hopefully the in-between journey was worth it.
Right. Which is, getting hit backwards by bats.
Yes.
And random things flying at you.
Could be a little obnoxious, just saying. Jason, I'm noticing something about your game.
Yeah.
I'm watching on YouTube, I admit. Luke Skywalker is talking to Jawas.
Yes.
He's having dialogue
with Jawas him. Learned Basic, or are using a universal translator.
I think you just pulled that out of a bodily orifice.
I did.
Okay.
I sure did.
Not to go Star Wars nerd on you, but that's...
They can't just say Utini all over the time.
Blasphemy. Yes, they can.
Utini!
Utini!
That was good.
Thank you.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But your game sucks.
No, it's great. It's like a little...
It's like Jez Ball.
What?
Jez Ball? Did you ever play that game?
What is that?
Oh, Jez Ball was amazing.
Yeah, it's basically like a walk around, talk to people version of Jez Ball. Like it's the same UI.
It's
the
in
same
no way. Jez...
Window size. Same period of Windows game history.
Jez Ball is a game in which red and white balls, referred as atoms, bounce around a rectangular field of play.
Right, but it had the same window size, the same resolution.
So you're telling me it takes place in a square, in a Windows box.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh.
The same amount of replay value. In it. It's like Yoda's Story is like one of those games you would have gotten on one of those 301 games in one CDs. You would have got Jez Ball and Yoda's Story and 299 other games.
And they would have all been as great.
Ah,
it's better than your damn Game & Watch collection.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It's better than the Game & Watch collection.
I mean, I'm watching it too here, and it's...
Did you ever do anything?
I don't know. He's just walking around in the YouTube video.
And like you talk
it's like
to people,
you're looking for items and stuff. You're talking. You've got to rescue people.
Every time you enter or exit a building, there's a screen wipe.
Of course, it's the George Lucas screen wipe.
Time consuming.
Because only George Lucas can make the screen wipe work. It's just horrible in every other form of art.
It's the same screen wipe every time. It's nothing different.
Yeah.
It's the same one.
It can't take that long to load 400 pixels. It should be an instantaneous
You'd be
thing.
Surprised on a Windows 95 machine.
Jez Ball works flawlessly. They don't have to animate one tile at a time. You can
that
have, like,
came built in.
Nine balls bouncing around the game at once.
Yeah. That's Jez Ball. This is the Yoda Story.
Okay, he does use
detail.
Wow, have you seen the attack animation for the lightsaber?
Oh.
Awful.
Awesome. Got it going on.
Each game world is composed of 100 screens you can navigate.
Do I want...
That's over 300 screens you can navigate.
Do I want
to navigate
them?
Each filled with your
them,
favorite
though?
Star Wars characters and items.
Do I want to navigate 300 screens of Yoda's
no.
story?
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah, they're showing it here, too. It is. Yeah. Oh, no, I would not want to do that.
That's great. That's great.
What?
Okay, listen.
Other things to do.
In your chicken... Forever Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chicken Man.
It says Chicken Man will... it says Chicken Man will live forever until he destroys the four supernatural evils. Those are...
Yeah.
The Spider Queen. Okay, yes. Scary. Mantis.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty scary. I'm picturing, like, you know, a giant praying mantis or...
It is,
Elkinrod.
Yeah.
Not sure what that is, but sounds like it could kill me. And then the Dragonfly King.
Dragonfly King.
That's...
Gotta be careful.
They dropped the bomb that last boss.
Yeah. He's a tough
the
one.
The Dragonfly King.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be not bats, because this isn't Castlevania.
Oh, no, not at all. Not even close.
No. Dragonflies.
But he's a mutated dragonfly. He's huge. Comes flying at you, throws stuff.
So he's like a
bounce around.
Teenage mutant ninja dragonfly.
Yeah.
Teenage wow, more copyright infringement.
Dragonfly, yeah. Teenage mutant ninja dragonfly. That'd be a fun game. Flying around.
That would be good.
Here's my question about the Forever Man. It seems like there's a lot of these decorative heads on the walls that spit fire.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a cheap gimmick, like, to have so many of them. Like, how many of them are there? Are there hundreds of these?
There's not hundreds. They're throughout the levels, but they're not in all the levels either.
How many levels are they in?
See.
They're in more than one.
They're in more than one, but they're all, like, the indoor, like, you're in some sort of labyrinth. Because there's outdoor levels where you're in the clouds and doing things like that.
Like a dragonfly.
Yeah, that's where the dragonfly
okay,
is.
Wait.
But there's heads that spit fire?
Well, they're like attached to the walls, like a gargoyle
head. So they're not like the bone pillars in Castlevania that spit fire.
Not at all. Not at all.
No.
That are dinosaur heads.
I just want to say I hate those things. Like any like stationary fire spitting obstacle. You have to sit there and wait 3 seconds so they can jump through. I hate that. So I just want to throw that out there. Jason, I have another question for you, though.
Okay.
What is Yoda's story? Like, if you were to tell me Yoda's story, how does it go?
Okay. Yoda is this demented little green man on a swamp planet.
And he told a story that goes like...
Yeah, it kind of goes along the lines of...
Once upon a time, I made Luke run an errand.
For
no reason.
For no reason.
Ultimately, nothing happens.
Then he came back, and I had about 98 more things for him to do. But I only told him each thing every time he came back.
Sounds like a crappy story.
Yeah. Luckily, the Rebellion reimburses him on his mileage.
Because
he's making a lot of trips.
Yeah, log that with the the IRS when you file your tax return.
The Galactic Empirical.
Yeah, the Imperial
IRS.
Revenue Service.
Beautiful.
Imperial Revenue Service. Good job.
I love it.
Might be an episode title. Might be.
Imperial Revenue Service.
Like audit this.
So, explain Game & Watch.
Yeah.
Just give me a rundown, because like I said, I did like the Tiger things a long time ago, but
yeah,
I never really played any of the Game & Watch.
Weren't they just the Nintendo Tiger things?
Yeah.
Basically. But on this Game Boy collection of four of them, you have Manhole, Fire, Octopus, and Oil Panic. Fire might be the most classic one. The setup is pretty recognizable, where you control two guys that go a frame at a time at the bottom of the screen, and there's people jumping out of a building that's on fire.
These
people jump out and they fall to the ground. You have to catch them. So every time you go under one, it falls and it bounces off. You have to go to the next column and bounces off. So you have to go over and bounce them like three or four times before they bounce into the ambulance. Well, okay, for one, you're just going over one column at a time, but eventually there's like three or four like jumping out, so you have to go, you're like really crazily going back and forth, and it's hectic and intense, but people die, man. Like their lives are in your hands. If you drop them, they just hit the pavement. Splat.
I have to ask. So they had these game concepts already constructed for the Game & Watch.
Yeah, for the Game Boy Collection, the games were already done.
The
original Game & Watch versions long ago.
And they move frame at a time due to the limitations of, you know, an LCD game.
Yep.
Could Nintendo not have taken those scenarios and updated them with modern gameplay?
They did! You can play both versions. So, like,
really?
There's Fire with the original LCD Game & Watch guys. Yeah. You move one frame at a time. But then there's Fire where there's toads jumping out of the buildings. And it's actually animated, like, multiple frames per second, and not just LCD preset spots on
the screen. Argument backfired.
So we're kind of Mario Party.
Yeah, without the board game.
Right,
or the multiplayer.
So if you hate board game video games, as some people on this podcast have, Game & Watch Gallery might be your cup of tea. Or your cup of fire, in this case.
Yes.
Can of fire.
Because like an octopus, if you play the updated version, you're Mario dodging this enormous animated octopus. Whereas you could just be the LCD Game & Watch guy. But the octopus appears in Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
He does.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. See, even you said it. Pretty cool.
In Super Smash Bros.
Well, came from Game & Watch series.
Yeah, I guess. I'll give you that.
Let it slide the one time.
Yeah, the one time.
Mark Hunter. I don't know whether to call you Hunter or if I should stick to calling you Mark.
Whichever.
Do you know if Chakan the Forever Man was an arcade game first?
It was not. As far as I'm aware, it was a Genesis-only release until they did the really bad remake on the Game Gear.
Okay, well, that makes it interesting then, because I was about to say I thought I remembered seeing an arcade, but I guess I must have just seen one of the very many, very similar-looking games.
I don't know, because anything I've looked up, they made a movie. I didn't know that.
Well,
they were making a sequel to the game.
Yeah, and then it became Blood Omen.
Yeah, Blood Omen 2.
Right on.
But yeah, okay, I just checked. No Crazy. Arcade release. So I don't know what I remember. Just one of those generic gothic-looking Castlevania successes.
What, another
we got a
Castlevania
copy of.
Yeah, well, brought to you by Sega.
Yeah, Eric's going to love this when he hears it, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to rip me to pieces.
Can you just say one more thing, anti-Sega? That would be just wonderful. Just say.
Say something about the Dreamcast.
Another stupid thing Sega
the Dreamcast. Ugh. You know,
what
go ahead.
No, I was just about to say, what do you think of the Dreamcast?
You know,
I like
what
this
do you think?
Reaction we're getting so far.
You know, I never really got a chance to play it a whole lot. So I really don't have a great deal of insight on it. Because he got it like, I might have even been moved out of the house at that point. So he had it like while he still lived at mom and dad's. Mm. So I don't even know. It's been a while.
I mean, he gave us the impression that you two still play games together sometimes.
Yeah,
does he
we
not
do.
Let you play his precious Dreamcast?
No,
is it locked in a case somewhere?
No, he's got it. He's got a nice
shrine.
Setup going. A shrine, I guess. you know, I don't. We played something on the Dreamcast the other day, and yes, to answer your question, we do. We do get together. It's usually once a week, and we play video games for like
That's
6
awesome.
Hours straight. Grab
nice.
Lunch, go play video games. Yeah. usually we stick with though. Anymore, it's been either NES or like Super NES.
Oh.
So we stick with some of that. You know, we haven't played any. But we did play some Dreamcast stuff the other day, and I cannot remember for the life of me what it was.
So non-memorable.
Would you say it wasn't memorable?
It was, well, if you want to put it that way. Yes, it
we
was
do.
Definitely not memorable. But then it could have been longer than a couple of weeks ago, though, too. You know, he's got a very weird schedule.
Delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I never really played it. We were, you know, I got into the PlayStation, really.
Yeah,
I can't blame you there. Yeah, PlayStation's good.
I don't know. You guys are got the mini games. I don't know if I don't know about the mini games.
I thought I'd be the weird one, but Jason's is weirding me out, like out weirding me this week.
Yeah,
that's
I pulled that out of my childhood.
That's...
I didn't even own it. A friend
right
did.
Out of the childhood. I mean, I got nothing, Jason. I thought I was gonna be the wacky pick, but all the wacky people can go for you this week. That is fine.
Yeah.
You clearly defeated me.
Oh, yeah.
Yoda's story. Once upon a time, boring game, the end.
300 screens of exploration.
Whoa.
300 screens to explore one tile at a time.
Collecting keys.
I mean,
and random other items to go on to the next level.
At least Check and the Forever Man is a side-scrolling platformer. Those are always
it
fun.
It is.
Right, Jason?
No.
Yeah. Come on!
No.
What?
No.
Yeah, coming
Mark,
from... We don't like was... Mega Man. What did I hear
yeah,
that somewhere?
Right?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You did.
Not like Mega Man.
How can it's, you it's not just... like Mega Man?
I do. I like Mega Man Battle Network.
You know...
That's great. You
okay.
Sigh in the exact same way your brother does.
Yeah. Oh, I don't
it's
even know.
It's the same
know.
Painful you've insulted my soul, Sigh.
Right. It is. It's like you. It's almost like saying that you hate, like, Donkey Kong or something.
I do.
I don't know. You hate Donkey Kong?
Yeah, I don't like Donkey Kong.
What about Donkey Kong Country?
Yeah. It's forgettable.
Oh, come on!
It's Rare was worth something.
Donkey Kong
in my eyes, Rare has only been worth anything when they made GoldenEye,
yeah,
and Perfect Dark, and those games have not aged well at all.
No,
it's
GoldenEye though.
Yeah, it's GoldenEye. It's great. Like I'll still play it with friends. Those controls have not aged well.
Yeah.
Jet Force Gemini.
I've never played it.
So
I've never
good.
Played Jet Force Gemini. I'll take your word, but you brought Game & Watch Collection, so I'm not sure how much that is worth.
Right. Yeah, I just never got into any of the minigame stuff. Like, I'd get friends, they would all want to get together and party. Let's play Mario Party! And I'm like, just go and sit and watch television. I just never got into any of the minigames at all.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, I can't really give you a crazy... Never got into them, never played them, so I can't really go crazy on it.
I'll take it. Let's do final arguments.
All right. All right.
Jason, why should anyone vote for Yoda's story?
You should vote for Yoda stories because you'll be able to relive your 1993 through 1997 childhood all over again through the magic that is Yoda stories.
Excellent. Hunter, why should anyone vote for Chuck Can, the Forever Man?
Because it's awesome. No, I mean, it's a great game, you know, again, made by Sega, and it, I don't know, it was just different than something that they had, other things that they had out. They had the Sonics, they had all the other kind of kiddie things, and this was more of a darker thing that they didn't have, so it's something, pick it up and play it. It's fun. It's a good game.
Cool. All right, that sounds good. As for me, you should vote for Game & Watch Gallery, because if you like super old-school portable LCG games, you got that. And if you like it a little bit more new-school with actual animations and Nintendo characters, it has that too. So it's like 8 games in one cartridge that you can play on Super Nintendo. And let's go on to shout-outs. I have a shout-out this week. At least I thought I did. Yes. Sorry. I'd like to shout out the Retro Critic. That's his Twitter name and his online handle in general. He's one of our One More Castle columnists, and I really do appreciate his ability to review retro games that tie into recent movie releases. For example, he just started a series of Superman game reviews because Man of Steel is coming out soon. So follow him on Twitter at the Retro Critic. Jason, how about you?
I'm going to give a shout-out to the person who gave me a shout-out in our listener discussion question. Because he's a cool dude.
Very nice.
Yeah. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Jason Lamb.
Yep. And if you want to follow Big Joe 91 on Twitter, I think on Twitter he's actually at Big Jonathan 91. I think so. Mark Hunter, how about you? Want to shout anyone out this week? Doesn't have to be anyone on Twitter either.
Hey, I'll give a shout out to you guys.
Oh,
thanks for having me on. Let me hang out with you guys for last whatever hour and a half or whatever it's been.
Well, how nice of you. Yeah, if you want to jump in for that other guy anytime, I will welcome you back.
Your brother.
The offer's out there.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm there. I'm on. I'm definitely in. I really had fun.
Cool. Good. Glad to hear it.
Well, so did we.
Yeah, and just to remind our listeners, if you want to email us your discussion questions, you can email us podcast@onemorecastle.com. We also take Retro Showdown theme suggestions or any comments about the show. And also remind you, please vote in the Retro Showdown poll on the podcast page. And check out the Interlude Artist, check out Retroids.com. Just support us how you can, and we'll make sure to keep a high-quality show going for you. Any final thoughts, guys? I mean, it's just different not having the video and knowing we're going to do stuff afterwards. It's different, yeah. But that's okay. I like the old school audio only. We haven't done it in a while now. So, hey, if you want to follow me on Twitter for some reason, it's Nintendo_Legend. I have a blog at NintendoLegend.com. I review NES games. And listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.